How do you feel, by the way? You good? You all right?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
Never done this before.
We'll just wing it then. So, Vink, I was playing the Sonic Generations demo that came out. I played on Xbox 360 because that's the only non-Wii console I have for this generation. Noticed some interesting things, like there's actually a 3D mode for that. Thought it was just for the PS3, based on our TGS experience. But I noticed a few things, trying to put this video up, about our Sonic Generations experience there, and I discovered that the DS version in particular actually is pretty much just a clone of the Genesis version, so I got to update the video with that information. But I also found out that there's an extra mode where you can play in a more Sonic Adventure style on the 360 there in PS3. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, Vink's not here. He's sick. His voice is not working.
Oh, hey, Megan.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad he got a stand-in in such short notice. Well, wait a second. If his voice isn't working, how did he get a hold of you? You know what? Never mind. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah, so have you played Sonic Generations at all?
Not at all.
Not at all? Have you played Sonic ever?
Yes, I played Sonic like 15 years ago. Oh. Genesis, so it's been a while.
Basically,
did somebody say Genesis?
Oh, look, it's Syndra. I knew your ears must have been burning.
Oh, well, yeah, those tend to happen. Especially, they always involve you, Sean. What is that about?
Because I think it's funny.
Making my ears burn?
Mentioning Sonic 2.
How do you know about
burn?
My closet masochism? You bastard!
So you have played the demo, then?
Yes, I have played the demo, and I will say that the little Sega jingle in the beginning made me, I had a tear of joy run down my face as I was like squeeing like a maniac. But yes, I did play the demo, and I liked it. It was just obviously the 2D version of it, of Green Hill, but I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the game comes out on November 1st. And, looking forward to actually maybe kind of possibly there's a, you know, sliver of a chance that it might be an actually good Sonic game.
Oh, goodness. I guess I better get this game, this video up about it by Monday then, huh?
That might be a wise choice, yes.
Already missed the one for Rage.
Oh,
dear. Yeah, that's like 3 weeks ago now, 2 weeks ago, something like that, something ridiculous.
Yeah. Slacker.
I know. So now that the estrogen content of the show has gone up, I had an idea for something we can talk about. Being a guy, I'm always curious as to how the other half lives in an industry that's in a hobby that tends to be dominated by men. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that? See, I even called you guys. What's up with that?
Yeah, boobs.
True. All right. We can talk about that. But before we do, I just wanted to talk about Syndra's show, Keep Playing Rewind. If you just listen to the podcast here, then you know we talk about more contemporary stuff. But the meat and potatoes of our Famicom Dojo web series is more retro stuff. But we don't really go into games so much. You know, we've been doing a little bit more lately with the 3D special, like showing actual footage, which people tend to like. Who would have thought? But the Keep Playing series and Keep Playing Rewind in particular are more about showing actual games, reviewing them, talking about people's memories with them. And Rewind especially, you know, because it's more about retro stuff. So do you want to talk about that a little bit, Syndra?
You basically nailed most of it. It's just me talking about the games from my childhood. I mostly grew up on Sega Genesis, but I did have some exposure to, like, NES, an Amiga, Game Boy, various other, you know, consoles, and I just basically go through reviews of the games that I remember playing when I was a kid and analyzing how I felt from then and how I feel about them now, replaying them some like 15, 16, 17 years later. And just, yeah, kind of recounting. Nothing too nothing too in-depth, nothing too special. I just happen to be a girl talking about games from when I was a kid. Not unlike many other people, but, you know, it's my take on it, and hopefully people don't give me, you know, a lot of crap about it.
Well, actually, I wanted to ask you about that because I know that you have gotten more than a little bit of crap, but we'll get to that. So Keep Playing Rewind can be seen on Powat TV, or if you follow Syndra at Tastes Like Sin on Twitter, and then Sin Damon. Did you pronounce it that way? Sin Demon. I'm not even really sure about that.
No, it's Sin Damon. I couldn't get Syndra on YouTube, so I had to go with one of my alternates. So I just went with that, yeah. Right.
So you can subscribe to her YouTube channel as well.
We just got past 300 subscribers.
Woot. Nice. Yeah, your Castlevania 3-part review got some good hits from what I saw, especially too. So, man, that's like 40 minutes of Castlevania goodness.
I know, right? I never intended it to be that long, but it just kind of turned out that way. And hey, I could talk about Castlevania for hours, so 40 minutes really is kind of a drop in the bucket.
Right.
And it's just basically been limited for the sake of the viewer.
I'll be sure to put those links in the show notes and everything. So, all right, now that there are a lot of X chromosomes here, I wanted to go over to Megan, who people probably don't know because she's never done anything like this before.
I haven't, no. I'm kind of nervous.
Oh, you're fine.
Don't be.
The worst that's going to happen is, well, I guess we'll get to that.
Just pretend all the viewers are naked. And,
right.
Well, no, actually, you probably don't want to pretend that.
No.
Crap. That backfired on me. I'm sorry.
It didn't just backfire on you.
Oh, God.
You know, there's so many jokes I would normally make, but I feel a little intimidated. Maybe I should have brought Adam in because he would have balanced things out nicely.
Or made them worse.
I mean, he's got, what should I call it, a fetish about things like Princess Peach, and maybe, yeah, you're right, that probably would have been.
For anybody who ever saw him at the last PAX East,
Oh, or at BotCon. That wasn't so bad, but yeah, the PAX East one was probably worse. Maybe we should make that the image for the show.
Oh, God, don't.
Man Lee.
That image has dominated far too many things on the internet as it is.
You took that picture with Tycho, right?
That is true, yeah. And she looks absolutely horrified, but that's a whole nother matter.
So Megan, I knew primarily from her days at the Westfield Comic Store here in Madison, Wisconsin, but lately you can be seen more online because she started a couple of awesome Facebook groups called Hail to the Spectre for fans of the female Shepherd in Mass Effect and the Femme Hawk
Friends
one.
Friends of Hawk.
Friends of Hawk. Again, for the female Hawk in Dragon Age 2.
Yeah, I just wanted to start a group on Facebook. Well, originally it was just for Femme Shep because she's, up until recently, kind of completely ignored by any advertisement for Mass Effect. In fact, when I first got Mass Effect, I didn't realize you could do a female character until I got into the game and saw you could customize it. And then there was the choices there. And I think that there's a lot of people who don't even notice it because, like I said, until now, BioWare didn't even really acknowledge that she existed in any of their official stuff.
Totally.
Any trailers or posters or any images from it, it's always been the default bro shop.
It's really interesting because it was the fans themselves that finally got them to admit that this was an option, and those fans then got Femme Shep onto the special edition cover.
The special edition tin will have like Femme Shep on one side and bro shop on the other side.
So the problem being, though, is that they didn't really, you know, there was a default Femme Shep that you could pick, but they decided they wanted to give her an overhaul for the third game.
Yeah, the default Femme Shep was, she was kind of plain. She just kind of had, like, the basic hair and look to her that a lot of people kind of went with, and I'm guessing BioWare wanted to make her look a little bit more distinct than she does in the game, which I'm actually glad that they did. They didn't actually really make Bro Shep look all that distinct because there's so many male heroes in video games that are scarred and like shaved head and everything like that, that he's pretty nondescript outside of the N7 armor.
before I get into exactly what happened, I think we can talk about like what made her deserving of the honor to be recognized. Is that, you know, I think in general that Jennifer Hale's performance as Shepard was is just better than Mark Muir's. No offense to him, or at least not a lot of offense to him. Because you know,
I've never actually played male Shep. I specifically decided that I wasn't going to play male Shep. Mostly the reason is, since I play a lot of video games and most of them, like 90%+, I'm forced to play a male character.
Mm-hmm.
When I get the chance to play a female character, I only play the female character because it's extremely rare.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Jennifer Hale does a fantastic job. I mean, she's done so many voice acting jobs that I didn't even realize how much she'd done. I mean, I knew she did Bastila. I knew she did Naomi from Metal Gear Solid. I knew she did other things, but she's been in like the Justice League cartoon and just so many things. And she did a fantastic job of making Femme Shep like a totally kick-ass character.
Oh, I know, right? Like, so someone who did play Bro Shep, as you said.
I like that little label. That's kind of appropriate.
I think it's the first time I've heard it, to be honest. So I don't typically use the skins out of the box. I tend to customize my characters all the time. And I thought that Femme Shep looked atrocious, but I did the male one first. And I customized him right away. And when I heard his voice for the first time, no lie, my immediate thought was, oh, maybe because I'm using a custom character, they're using just some second string voice actor to voice him. And if I play it with the actual skin, I get this really kick-ass guy.
I don't think he's really done a whole lot of voice acting outside of Mass Effect and like a few other things. So the video that I saw of actually both of them together on a convention, it's almost, I'm guessing that he's just trying too hard when he's doing the voice. He sounds pretty normal. And
I really don't mean to slag the guy. He seemed to get better in Mass Effect 2, a little more nuanced to the performance, but still, he's sort of the guy I played through with first to decide how I really want to do the game, and then Femme Shep kind of gets the honors of me making the ballsier choices, if that, or the ovarianer choices. So I basically can't wait to finish playing as male Shep so I can switch over to my real Shepard, is kind of how it goes. But you know, since
I like
she didn't
that way of thinking.
What's that? Oh yeah. I like how you said on Facebook how you didn't. How did this bald guy get all of Shepard's armor?
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Thank you.
So, BioWare, you know, at the behest of fans, eventually acquiesced and had a contest on Facebook for having people vote out of like one out of six different styles they had available. For what they really wanted. And a lot of people are like, oh, they picked the attractive blonde with the messy hair. Of course they did. And in step two, they're like, well, maybe it's not the hair color, and then offered a whole bunch of hair color choices and a redhead one.
That issue actually really bothered me. The comments that they would say, they would actually use like slut, whore. And these are coming from women as well. Women who even seem to claim to be feminists would be calling her this just because she was blonde. And it just, I suppose nothing like that should really surprise me, but it did surprise me that how much vitriol came out over just the fact that this blonde Shepard was picked. I mean, I can understand wanting something other than a blonde female character to be Femme Shep. I get that, just how it was received and how people expressed their frustration of there being a blonde Shepard was just amazingly over the top. And I'm guessing that since now that they made her a redhead, that they have less of an issue with it. But it was just incredible how much people reacted, how badly people reacted to it, how much they were saying that the people who voted for the blonde Shepard must just be the guys who never really played the game, presuming that no one would have voted for a blonde Shepard because that's not the Shepard that is in the game. I don't really know why the hair color would have really mattered that much.
Although, wouldn't you say that perhaps there's some stereotyping going on there? Because like, oh, of course, you know, a kick-ass chick in a video game is a redhead, you know, fiery temper and all that.
Yeah, you could say that too. I mean, I haven't really like seen anyone do that. Most of the people that were angry that she was blonde were totally happy that she was a redhead. Even though her face was exactly the same, it was just a change of color, so somehow she's less stupid.
I guess we shouldn't be too surprised, though, because it does seem like a male-dominated hobby. A lot of guys in the industry as well, and particularly on game trailers, where Syndra has the most success with her Keep Playing Rewind series.
Yeah, I'm actually featured. My videos are featured quite readily by
more
game
than mine, by the way.
Which is kind of surprising, given the response and the criticism I get.
Yeah, like, you know, half the time it's like tits or GTFO or, you know, just ridiculous stuff like that.
It's not even that anymore. I mean, it used to be that in the beginning. And now I'm just getting smug, smartass, condescending comments. And I'm not quite sure why. Some people say, oh, well, your voice is crap. Oh, well, you don't inject enough humor. Oh, you're too bland, blah, blah, blah. They're just giving, like, crap excuses. And it's like, you're not exactly telling me what you think I should be improving on. Are you just saying this because I'm a girl? Are you saying this because you honestly think that? Or are you just, you know, saying that because you're a dick? which, you know, 9 times out of 10, the type of responses that they are gives the impression you're just saying that to be a dick. So it's kind of hard. Some videos get much better responses than others. I've actually had some people come to my defense. So it's kind of hard to say. Maybe I just need to really improve on my videos, which, hey, that's like a constant thing anyway. So, hey, you guys are criticizing me for no reason because I already know I have a lot to improve in. So, but whatever. Bad publicity is still publicity. So, you know, they keep on featuring me almost every single time I put up a video. So I got to be doing something right.
Is that just the price to pay to be female and like enjoy video games? Because I mean, you know, Megan, I know that like working at the comic store, you got a lot of, you know, people just assumed that you didn't know what you were talking about and needed to get like the manager just to answer their questions or something.
Yeah, that happened pretty much daily. I was there for 3 years, and even after 3 years, there would be people who would come into the store. I'd say hi. They'd say hi. I'd ask them if they were looking for anything. They'd say no and beeline towards one of the guys that were working there and ask him a question.
Dear.
And it's not just the guys that did that. It was both that did that. It was pretty surprising. I was not expecting that when I started working there. I was expecting the guys to do it. I wasn't expecting women to do it as well.
Has that gotten any better since your career change?
In my job, yeah. I mean, no one really, at least as far as I can tell, has like done kind of some weird things that happen in the shop. I mean, there's women who have been working at the same company for over a decade, so it's pretty clear that to them that it's not just a guy thing for games. I think it's just a retail thing for the comic book store. That it comes out more, and at the same time, they're not working with me. I'm not seeing them every single day. They're not getting to know me or anything like that. It's mainly just they see me up at the counter, they see me putting away comics or whatever, and they make snap judgments on
like she's just the maid cleaning up or something.
No, they haven't said that. There was other comments that we got through like questionnaire surveys. One woman said, "I understand you hiring eye candy, but
And this is from a woman.
Yeah, there's so many. There's another story of like this older couple that came in, and the husband came up and asked me a question, and the wife said, "Don't ask her; she doesn't know anything."
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. So, like I said, there was guys did it, women did it. It was not split along gender lines at all. The sexism was on both sides.
I have seen this with, let's say, you know, what's her face? Morgan Manjaw. There we go.
See, I think it's funny because I don't think it's true, but I have a Rock Band character called Manjowski, spelled, you know, Manjowski. Mm-hmm. And it looks like Morgan Webb, but you know, and that with the was it like VG Cats? I did that terrible
comic. Yeah,
it was
VG Cats, and she's, you know, she's very pretty. She's, you know, all that. I'm just making fun, but then again, you know, it's the same thing. It's like, you don't know, was she just brought in to be eye candy, or does she really know what she's talking about?
Well, if anyone watched the screensavers, you'd know the answer to that question.
Well, yeah. But it's like, so people assume, you know, oh, well, you have an attractive female who also is talking about games or comics or any kind of facet of geekdom. And, you know, even the women will assume, oh, she was just brought in to be a marketing scheme, or she's just flaunting her sexuality to try and gain, you know, credibility rather than actually knowing what the hell she's talking about whatever subject she's supposed to be, you know, she's catering to, you know, like the booth babes at like PAX East. Do they really have any kind of clue as to the games they're, you know, being a booth babe for? Probably not, but there's the association, you know, our girl, you know, is an attractive female. Does she actually know what she's talking about if she says she's a gamer or a geek or anything like that? So credibility I can see how credibility can be questioned by both men and women.
That reminds me, when we were at Tokyo Game Show, Vink and I were wondering if we should do some kind of like booth babes post, because that's typically what these sites do. But the 4CR guys were kind of on the ball with that one. Like, yeah, don't do that. We're like, okay, good. And so Kevin thought, all right, if we're going to do anything like that, then we've definitely got to take the angle. It's like there were some people there who knew the stuff. So I cannot remember. We were in the mobile area. I don't remember if it was for Gloops or some other booth, where, you know, one of the girls dressed up like one of the characters in the game actually was able to demo the thing for us. Mm-hmm. You know, she was actually able to talk about it. Same for the Moonga booth. It was this card game. It's like a whole like light and dark theme. We have an interview, a video interview with them, where she actually did most of the talking because she knows the product. Right. And I think if you're going to do something like that, then you got to. It's better, I think, to hire people who can actually discuss it, because otherwise, it's more like the whole Tokyo thing where you put the pretty girl outside, bring him up to the room for a massage or whatever, and then you send the pretty one out to the street again. But it's kind of the same thing, you know. You flash a little skin to get them into your booth, and it's like, well, they don't know anything.
Well, on the flip side, same place, PAX East this past spring, I did see plenty of like at the specific booths, you know, actual employees of the specific companies, the specific game companies, you know, women who were working like the demos and whatnot and explaining things to you and actually could answer a couple of your questions if you had them. So it's like, that's the flip side. Girls game and girls read comics and girls do, you know, are geeks. I don't
see
why.
The hell you say?
I don't understand how this can still be some kind of unknown concept to people.
Well, I mean, you know, even though it's gaining more parity, you know, women still tend to be in the minority, both, you know, behind the scenes and playing the games. Like, you know, regardless of whether or not this falls along gender lines, like, they found out that was like 18% of people playing Mass Effect chose the female Shepard. Some number like that. Do you remember, Megan?
Yeah. It was like, they had two numbers. One, the first numbers were 20%. The second were like 18.
Okay.
They also, though, put out that, like, a relatively high number didn't actually finish the game either. So some of those numbers that were going to Male Shep were also for people who never finished the game.
Sure.
I still actually wonder how many of them actually knew there was the option for there to be a Femme Shep.
Yeah, because you are presented the Male Shepherd first.
Yeah, you're presented with him first. And if you're just trying to get into the game, you might just start mashing the buttons, go, whatever, I just want to get in kind of thing. And, and again, the advertisements for the game never mentioned her at all.
Yep.
They just, it's strictly this male Shepard that they show all the time. And one site actually refers to it as like the best Easter egg ever. And it's almost what Femme Shep is.
It's like, surprise. Samus is a girl. Haha.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. That Samus is another example. So, you know, being girls who play games and probably, as Megan mentioned, had to play a lot of male protagonists. You know, how does that, I guess, affect your experience? And do you feel that there are plenty of good female role models out there. Like, you know, Lara Croft has become more realistic over time, both the number of polygons and not being so grossly exaggerated as her first appearance. But, you know, is it really better?
I think, well, in the case of Lara Croft, she's unfortunately suffered from, that's just how, in my opinion, in my case, I just have always seen her as being the sex object, regardless of how much more realistic she has, you know, supposedly become. I wasn't ever that huge into Tomb Raider simply because she was over-sexualized. It's like, I don't want to play a female character like that. I want to play, that's why I never, you know, was huge into Princess Peach, obviously, you know,
just
Zelda,
like Adam,
stuff of that nature. But, you know, hey, Samus, that's a very strong, you know, character who, I mean, there's a reason they didn't show that Samus was a girl until the very end of the first game, because it would have colored your entire opinion. Oh, you know, this is a girl going through a game like a whole on action game. And that's how, you know, they were able to take away that gender association. And from then on out, it's like her suit continuously looks like this big bulking, you know, suit of armor, and gives away very little to the point that she's actually female, because she's doing all these like hardcore badass, you know, mercenary type stuff that has always been, you know, very rare for a female character, even today, and not relying on the sexuality at all to kind of, you know, define the character, as long as you're not counting other M. And I think that's obviously that's a big big contention point a lot of fans of the series had. It's like, okay, now you're starting to rely more on the female characterization, the female part of things, and you're kind of forcing that on her now, and it takes away from the character she was up until that point. Characters like, you know, like that are, you know, fewer and far between. You have strong female characters, but not in characterization, like, let's say, in games like Soul Calibur and Mortal Kombat. You have, you know, these strong fighting-type women who are still incredibly over-sexualized and have just gotten worse and worse as years have gone on.
Yeah,
it's like,
physics.
How exactly is that making them any stronger of a female character? It's making it worse. Whereas with characters like Jill Valentine or Heather Mason from Silent Hill, these are realistic female characters kind of thrown into unrealistic situations, and they handle them probably like any one of us would. Like a normal person, and not over-sexualized, not relying on, you know, female stereotypes by any means. And that's why they make good characters, good female characters.
Well, in Jill Valentine's case, though, I mean, she's not over-sexualized, but as a guy playing, like, the GameCube remake, I didn't mind watching her hips sway playing as her, so.
That's fair. And unfortunately, she suffered from a little bit of character decay. Not so much character decay, but just design decay with Resident Evil 3. They had her in a tube top and a skirt, which, you know, you can say, hey, she was kind of in the middle of life, and a zombie apocalypse just happened. So, you know, that I can understand. But then you have Resident Evil 5, where she's in this skin-tight battle suit, showing off every curve, every aspect of, you know, her being female. And it's like, oh, really, guys? Really? You just took a huge step backwards.
Yeah, then there's like Dead or Alive that has the beach volleyball game.
I didn't even want to get into that, because that just speaks for itself.
Yeah, we brought that up during an early episode of the podcast regarding games that got turned into movies, and they actually had a volleyball scene in the film just to sort of, I whatever. I never actually saw the movie myself. Vink did.
Yeah, I never saw it to save my sanity, so.
Fair enough.
Was that a game or a movie that was done by, what's his face?
Uwe Boll? No.
No, I think it was Paul Anderson who did Dead or Alive.
Oh,
which,
dear.
In my opinion, does not make it any better.
So what have you been making? Do you have any positive or negative examples?
She brought up quite a bit that were good. The one thing, though, about Samus is they didn't completely avoid sexualizing her. I mean, I never finished the original version of the first games, but isn't in one of them, or at least one of them, that when her armor comes off, she's in a bikini. I mean, granted, it's 8-bit, but
yeah,
she's in a red bikini or something.
It's not really a bikini, but it does look kind of like a leotard.
Is it a leotard? I thought
in
it
the
was
first game,
it's like
green hair and it's pink and yeah.
She's in her underwear, basically.
Basically. Yeah.
Which you could just chalk up to that's the easiest way she could get into the armor kind of thing, too.
Well, yeah. It's kind of in Ghouls and Ghosts or Ghosts and Goblins, whenever Arthur gets hit and his armor completely falls off. He's in his boxers, so.
Yeah.
Is he over-sexualizing or because he has a scraggly
exactly.
Don Quixote beard that he's just gross?
He's a manly man. Oh, God.
Well, in Samus's case, too, people got upset when Zero Mission came out because I think that was the first time I got to see the Zero suit, which is
Zero
what
suit.
She's wearing under the armor, you know, her that became a thing, and then immortalized in higher def in was it Smash Brothers Brawl or Melee
to start with, and then Brawl. And
at least for Zero Mission, it was this very temporary thing that she'd lost her armor.
Right,
she's running around, and from what I remember of it, she really didn't really come across that sexual in when she's running through the Zero suit. It's just sort of this is what she has on underneath it, and she's doing everything she can to get back into her armor.
But there's all the ancillary stuff, and of course the cosplayers, which again I don't mind terribly.
I've seen some incredible Samus cosplayers, let me tell you. Those girls put work into those costumes, let me tell you.
See, I'm trying to avoid the obvious comments.
Good. That is wise.
There's a Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem,
perfect.
Which has Alex Roivas, is her last, it's been a while,
yes.
I think it's Roivas.
Yes, it is.
And she's awesome. I mean, she's freaked out by what's going on, but she holds it together, and she's the main character. She's the one who, binds the entire story together.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few others in the game, too. I don't remember. There's at least one other female character that's in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, a pretty strong character as well. And it was a really good game. And the fact that the female character was, the main one, she's the one who's discovering all this stuff, was really, really cool. And I actually didn't realize this until, watching a video recently of Jennifer Hale's voice work, but Jennifer Hale was Alex Roivas.
No way. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, seriously.
Wow.
Then there's a strong silent types like Chell, who you almost never see.
Yeah, there was a funny thing when they were releasing Portal 2, the two robots that you can play for co-op. One of the videos that came out a little bit before the game came out was that the developers were doing playtests with the robots, and the guys that were testing it were freaking out if they were forced to play as the female robot. Which is
what?
Chell, hello, the single player, you're a girl, you're a woman, you're running through,
but you
the villain is a female character as well, and how can you not be aware of this? It's almost like a Samus thing again, where they just presume that the person they're playing as is a male.
Yeah.
Well, like Portal 2, GLaDOS makes a point of being a little, shall I say, catty, and insulting Chell about her weight and stuff like that, which I thought was funny, but...
She reneges on it later, though.
Thought it was funny because it seemed to be more of just she was going off of, the stereotypes of what would hurt a woman.
Right.
And so she's going after the weight, she's going after attractiveness and stuff like that. And so, like, most of her insults just came across as, like, over the top and ridiculous to me, as yeah. opposed to actually, like, a serious remark on Chell herself or anything like that.
I didn't play much of it, but Beyond Good and Evil had Jade.
Yeah. I was just right. going to mention that.
Jade yeah. is another awesome. Strong female character, you know, who doesn't, you know, rely on the much on the female sexualization, and, you know, guess what? It's still a good game.
although I'm annoyed by whatever her computer guy's name is, how he just says Jade all the time. Like, no one would say that. That's not how you. Where's he from anyway? I don't know.
He's AI. It doesn't matter.
It's just is that,
a made up.
Okay.
Made up accent.
So. Maybe it bothers other guy players, but, like, I don't mind playing as a female. Like, I'm not worried about, like, oh, I'm gonna suck as the girl. And maybe I would have had a bigger problem with it if I had been a kid when that was more available to me. And it's like, oh, you have to play as the girl, or something like that. Like, I can imagine kids teasing each other like that. But, you know, nowadays it's, like, not even a problem. So I'm pretty well known for playing the female characters when they are available, and if anyone has a problem with it, they haven't told me directly. Like Goldeneye, yeah, I would play as one of the female characters a lot. I think, like, my WoW character was like a human female warrior or something. When I, like, all 16 levels of that I played.
Oh yeah,
and I think I got hit on.
When I first, sorry to interrupt, but when I first played Diablo, I immediately went for the rogue because she was the automatic female.
Yeah, yeah.
I went for the Amazon, but she was a pain in the ass with the...
I went with the sword.
Her spear wasn't quite as...
I only ever used her for bow and arrow, but I usually went with the sorceress just for ice spells, and because, you know, she was a lot, I thought, a lot more powerful than the other characters that I was playing at the time, so I'm like, yeah, this works.
Yeah, like isn't it weird how... like Zelda has a bow and arrow, you know, and like that's her weapon of choice. Like the women who are like good characters in games tend to use weapons that we don't think of as being as awesome, I guess. Like,
they tend to, from what I get where you're coming from, the like long range projectile weaponry, they stay out of the immediate fight. They're, you know, so they don't normally go up and do a lot of the heavy hitting, you know, melee stuff with swords and axes and heavy weaponry. They just kind of stay back and ping, 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 you know, fire off shots while the male protagonists or whatever go in and hack and slash.
It's like in Narnia, like C.S. Lewis didn't want Susan to get in the fray, so she gave her a bow and arrow, but she couldn't actually use it.
Right.
And then, so you actually see in the movie, she actually shoots people. It's like, oh no, a girl's killing people. But like, then you have, you know, the usual like mage characters and stuff like that, or like Lucy, again, if we're going to go to the Narnia example, she had that healing potion. Mm-hmm. Lots of characters that the male protagonist is supposed to protect tend to be mages that you're supposed to ferry off somewhere. So that's why Shepard is so interesting, because there's a video, I'm pretty sure of this, and I got to grab it. Maybe link it in the show notes, but they didn't. Part of her appeal, I think, is they didn't try and reanimate her with like more feminine gestures. Like if you do a side by side of the male and female shepherds, like, you know, they'll sit the same way, which you don't really think about it until you watch that, and it's like it might make sense for, like, you know, male shepherd to like sit there with like his legs spread apart and like one hand in his thigh is kind of leaning, like, you know, and then you see female shepherd making the exact same motion, but you have Jennifer Hale's vocalization over it, and it makes it totally different, but it's the exact same animations all the way through.
Yeah, I would have actually, I wouldn't mind if they'd actually used like a woman for the motion capture, just so they could have gotten the way she carries herself a little bit different. It would have been fine if they kept like the same kind of like the specific moment that you're talking about, where she's kind of like sitting there, her legs are open, she's got her arm up and kind of this tough military kind of looking pose, but at the same time her walking around in her formal wear for the one DLC mission she looks kind of ridiculous because, like, when you're just walking, like, normally through there, she's it definitely looks like a male animatic kind of thing. She's just not moving the way, like, most women move at all. And going the over-the-top thing, I definitely wouldn't want. Just it would have been, like, a little nice if they had it so you can actually kind of see the difference in, like, weight distribution between the two bodies. But that's just me being me.
I was thinking about this before the show today, and you know, because of the way Mass Effect 2 is done, there are three love interests for each character, you know, male versus female, that they didn't have to do, like, any animations or voice acting for, like, you know, just for one of them versus the other. So, like, every romance option with Jacob or Thane or, Garrus. But, like, you know, she comes on super strong to Jacob, and the first time I was playing through that, I was a little intimidated myself. It was like, whoa, back off there. You're the captain, and I think you're hot and everything, but no, this is bad.
No one? I was actually not really expecting that, because I like doing the whole, like, getting to know the other characters and asking them stuff about themselves. So when I had her ask that, the way she asks it comes across as... Okay, she was hitting on him, and
oh, totally.
My femship wouldn't be doing that, and I kind of wish I knew that was what it was. Fortunately, it didn't, like, alter anything, but
right.
it was kind of like, okay, I want to talk to Jacob without hitting on him,
right,
or indicating anything other than strictly platonic thing with Jacob.
Well,
because my femship is totally loyal to Liara.
Aww. Megan, do you remember how I made fun of female Hawk's girly run, like in the Dragon Age 2 demo or something?
I do. It was kind of over the top.
The way I made fun of it, or her actual run?
Pick one.
Oh, yeah.
Either. Well, it was mainly the walk. It was definitely exaggerated.
It got better, right? Or am I fooling myself?
I think it got a little better. It was still probably, like, a little more than... like most women move in their hips when they run, but or walk in general, but it didn't seem quite as over the top as it did in the demo.
And yeah, and it was weird because, like, it's like she would move the same distance as if she were, like, the male Hawk, but it makes it sound like it's like a special delivery owl or something. Sorry, the male Hawk. Because, like, he would probably have a bigger stride, I would think. But I guess they fixed it, because I didn't see, like, when her feet touches the ground, it seems like, you know, she's actually going the distance she's walking. So I guess it's better.
I think it's better. I think it's not quite so jarring as it seemed when I first played the demo.
So in, like, a reversal of what I did with Mass Effect, I decided to play Dragon Age 2 with the female character first. So I didn't really know what to do, because the game... I didn't know what, like, love interests would be, and I knew based on the first Dragon Age there'd probably be some, you know, at least bisexual characters. So I was even warned by quote unquote warned by a Target employee when I got the first game that, you know, it was like a gay elf in this, right, or something like that. And I was like,
oh yeah, I remember telling me about that.
It's like, yeah. So. It's like, oh, okay, well, if you don't mind, it's fine, I guess. Yeah, it's cool, dude. So I ended up not realizing that she wasn't going to be, you know, an actual love interest, because, you know, the options would come up. I had to try to romance Aveline, and it never works. But
no. But
that whole sequence where you, like, go through with her trying to court this Donegan, is that his name?
Dominic.
Thank you. Just trying to, like, court him, and it's like, you know, if you want your character to be pining for Aveline, she can drop all these hints all over the place, and then it's, like, so incredibly heartbreaking when she doesn't return the feelings.
I was, like, so sad when I actually, like, finished that, because, yeah, it was just, Aveline doesn't pick it up, and then she almost picks it up. She's like, wait, you weren't thinking of, and then he comes in, and, like, the conversation is interrupted, and then she completely forgets about what was going on before that, because she's just so happy.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was really, really sad and really heartbreaking, because it was It's really, I mean, there's the relationship between Aveline and Hawk is pretty strong, because Aveline is very much this defensive, strong person who's very, very loyal to her friends, and she's especially loyal to Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
She'd do anything kind of for Hawk, and Hawk falls in love with her, but Aveline's completely oblivious to her and doesn't have those feelings for Hawk. I was actually surprised, because I knew who the romantic characters were, and when those things started coming up, the little heart-shaped dialogue boxes, I was like, I'm going to try this. And it happened. It was just like so sad, too.
Yeah, I have a male Hawk now, and you know, I thought about playing from the other angle, and I decided I didn't want to find out how it would be with the male one. Like, I just decided to like keep it platonic between the two. Maybe I just feel like it wouldn't be as fitting if he were like, you know, this guy wouldn't be able to tell her. Or was that just sexist of me? I'm not sure.
You'd saying that the guy wouldn't be able to, like,
well, he wouldn't try, he wouldn't be so subtle, but maybe, you know, I was like that, so I was way too damn subtle for my own good in my younger days. so maybe it would have been, but I didn't like that about myself, so maybe I didn't want to see that in male Hawk either. I don't know. But so I bring up Aveline too, because she's like one of those characters that she's a warrior, you know, she's got the sword and the shield, and she's in the heart of battle. She's a tank, right?
Yeah, I'd love that about her. I was so happy, because like almost every fantasy game, the tank is like this big scruffy like guy, and there's Aveline, and she's got this shield, and she's steely eyed and just totally kicks ass. And when you level her up, she's practically nigh invulnerable and holds all the aggro from the monsters that you can just send her in there. And she takes it. She takes the beating and keeps going. And that she's so loyal. She's basically a character that is almost always given to guys. And they actually gave it to a woman, and it was awesome. It's pulled off well. She's like one of my favorite characters in the game. Her and Meryl. Meryl's weird and awkward as hell, but I like Meryl a lot.
Yeah, like
and it's played by Gwyn from Torchwood.
Yes.
So how can you not know that?
Yes, I didn't even know that right away, and then I realized that basically all of the elves were supposed to sound Welsh. I was like, are they Scottish again? Oh, they're Welsh. Okay.
I heard her and I was like, is that a Welsh accent I hear? And I went and looked and was like, holy crap, it's Gwen. It didn't make the connection. I made the connection that it was Welsh, but I didn't make the connection that it was Gwen.
Well, she was using higher registers than she does as Gwen. So I didn't even pick up it was the same actress until I looked it up later. Because I was actually trying to look up who Aveline was, because she sounded a bit like Claudia Black. But I knew it wasn't her because it wasn't quite close enough. Although Aveline does get made fun of a bit, especially by Isabella, for being mannish. I don't know if you ever...
Isabella I hated so much. Just, she was... They've got Aveline, who's a great character, and they've got Meryl, who's a great character, and then there's Isabella, who's bland. Like, her only personality trait is that she is very confident in her sexuality, and that's pretty much it.
Right. And that
they could have made her
audience
like a Han Solo type, and I think they were trying to go for a Han Solo type, but she didn't really have that, because they were focusing so much on her talking about all the times that she slept with people that they didn't actually bring in the kind of like roguish charm. It was just more of like,
right,
okay, yeah, we know, we get it, move on, please.
And it never lets up. Although, if you do try and romance her, she gets totally freaked out by intimacy. It is kind of interesting. Yeah. I didn't succeed in that respect. But I'm romancing Meryl now with my male Hawk, and it's interesting. I didn't know that their costumes changed.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, man. So
Meryl's adorable. She's contradictory in the fact that she's a blood mage, but she's like, so adorable.
Well, and like, if you follow the romance path, I found she has more depth to her than even I thought initially, because I just sort of, I didn't really, I was like, so this character isn't going to like blood mages and is going to kind of keep Meryl at a distance. But when you don't do that, her story becomes a lot more tragic, I guess.
It is, yeah.
And she's a lot stronger than she lets on, so.
The blood mage thing she's like the only character they've really given that much. Only blood mage character that they've really given that much depth to, because she's a companion character, but
yeah,
it's like one of the few times that you can actually understand maybe why she would be willing to risk things, why she'd be willing to risk becoming an abomination by using this magic that puts her in very close contact with demons from the Fade. You still disagree with her, but you can understand where she's coming from a lot easier than any other blood mage in the game. All the other blood mages are actually really pretty one-dimensional. They're just we're mad at the Templars.
Well, speaking of costumes, I expect to see a lot of them at next year's MAGFest.
Yeah, here's hoping. They've had some cosplay contests there, I think, the past couple of years. I don't know what the ratio of cosplayers to just regular congoers are, but...
Well, I only went the 1 year, but it was pretty low this year. I guess it's this year yet because it was January, but it's almost January again, so I'll just say last year.
Yeah, that's fine.
So yeah, we're both going to be going, and apparently just the two of us at this point.
Well, yeah, unless we can find somebody to split the hotel room costs with, because people keep dropping.
Well, at least if Adam were to come, I know he'd be the big spoon. So,
yes, he would. At least you have that to. Oh God, I don't want a room with Adam again.
Oh dear,
that ended badly last time.
Oh, dear.
But MAGFest is going to be fun. There are a ton of people, a ton of guests, and a ton of bands going to be there. I think the guys from Buffalo, New York, close to where I live, Arm Cannon, they just got recently put on the list of venues going to be there. So that's going to be real cool. Unfortunately, I can't ride down with them, but whatever.
I will
find a way.
I wonder if they should call it That Guy with the Glasses Con next year or something, because there was a really high proportion of them who had panels that I noticed, and I went to a lot of them. So,
right. I know Spoonie and Linkara were there.
Juario as well.
Juario, yeah. Justin. I don't know if they'll come again if they have actual panels or if they'll come as guests or what the situation is. I'm sure we'll see. Probably
they had like a whole like a meetup just for the lot of them,
yeah,
as well
probably.
As their individual panels. I don't think I actually sat in on that one because the venue was kind of small for the number of attendees. So I think it's moved next year.
Yeah, it's been moved to the Gaylord National Hotel or something of that nature, which is much bigger than the place they've had at the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So, or at least that's what it looks like. That's what I've been told. So, we will see come January.
I've applied for a panel and your name's on it, so we'll see if they approve it or not. It's already almost November, so who knows?
I will talk to some of the guys I know who are on staff at MAGFest and see what the situation with that is.
Okay.
When we can expect to hear back.
Sure. Because I got, if they want a video of past conventions to prove I can hold my chops, I got that ready. So.
Right.
It was good times. Last year was my first year. Actually, Justin and I hung out for a bit and recorded. I got to release this because it fell by the wayside because like the 3D special came up and I was working on those Mass Effect 2 romance videos. But we went around recording these guys who had these like just really huge, scruffy, unkempt beards, and they were just all over the place. And it was just such a phenomenon that it's like, all right, I need some help. So I grabbed Justin. I'm like, hey, do you want to help me interview these guys with these really magnificent beards? And after, you know, he knew immediately what I meant, of course, because he saw it too. And after he stopped laughing after 5 minutes, he agreed. So I gotta put those up because they're
why have you not done this yet? That would be epic.
maybe I'll time it just before we head out for 2012.
Of course you will.
because there's still the Powat TV Awards from last year, which are almost a year overdue. We should probably get on that. It's 297 days, I think.
And counting. No rush there, Sean.
We'll get there. So, I think that's going to be it for the show. So, thanks everyone for listening. Be sure to follow Syndra at Tastes Like Sin on Twitter and Sin Damon on Facebook. Sorry, on on YouTube.
YouTubes.
On YouTube, and you can follow Famicom Dojo on Twitter, Facebook, and as That's Orange on YouTube. And if you want to join Megan's wonderful fan communities, there's Hail to the Spectre, Friends of FemShep. Help me.
Okay, it's Hail to the Spectre.
Yeah.
It's probably the quickest way to find it. And yeah. Friends of Hawk.
Friends of Hawk. Okay.
Yes. And I'm actually on Twitter, too.
Oh, yeah.
The Elf Girl.
The Elf Girl. Awesome. So, yes, I'll put all of those in the show notes so that everyone can do the wonderful following and monkeys. So, all right. Thank you both for filling in, Megan, for Vink, and Syndra for always answering the sonic call.
Oh, just, you know, put the I'm always watching for the sonic signal in the sky. the Genesis signal. Da-da-da-da-da.
All I gotta do is go out into the middle of a darkened alley and just call Sega, and the Syndra will come and save me.
Yes. Yes. With a cape.
With a cape.
Somehow I will find a...
I thought you were going to say a cake, which would work too. Unless I'm diabetic. Or if I'm diabetic, that would be...
A cape and a cake.
A cape and a cake.
You know, because I got to bring out the, you know, the feminine baking skills, you know, just to, you know...
Naturally.
Keep things out.
Awesome. All right, bring the cookies for Manfest and without even...
Hell yeah.
All right.
And I'll have to bring some for everybody. Damn.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. They'll make me. You don't know these guys.
Okay, fair enough. All right, until next week, everyone.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
When I go into the Geek Plane Rewind stuff, then I'll explain who you are and how you're affiliated, and then you can talk about the show.
Gotcha.
And it'll take like 5 minutes or so, and then I can explain who Megan is.
Okay.
After
so can
that,
you edit out bloopers like.
Oh yeah, oh, I edit out good. Things all the time.
That's good. I don't know if you wanted to go like completely. Like how everything just kind of came off, or if you edit out anything.
Well, we make mistakes sometimes. Like you probably heard Kevin's daughter in the background there. So
I'm lucky to hear you guys.
So you know, I'll edit those out. Hold on a second, I gotta get some Tums.
Excellent.
What? Don't laughing at me.
Way too late.